Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. TD at 4 o'clock, the Titans open locker room. This is probably what it's going to be. Honestly, this season, the TD Power Hour is usually from 3 to 4. It's probably going to be from 4 to 5 now because of the Titans' media schedule this season. It's different from the years before, which I hope everybody's okay with. But if you're looking for the TD Power Hour, that's probably when it's going to be. So a couple of years ago, I got into a discussion. I'm not going to say an argument, but I got into a discussion with one Buck Rising. And Buck, and I love him with all my heart, but Buck sometimes maybe thinks he's like, I don't know, has more authority than he does, if that makes any sense. I forget what the topic was, but I was talking to him about something. I was like, this is a huge story. And Buck was like, it's not a big story to me. And I was like, but it doesn't matter if it's a big story to you. It's a big story to everybody else. And we were arguing about whether or not we get to pick what the big stories are or if the big stories are the big stories. And so there's a big story that, honestly, I'm only bringing up today. I haven't spent 5 seconds on this because it's not a big story to me. And it has basically not crossed my brain the entire week. Ian, have you seen the outrage that has surrounded some corners of the internet regarding Brian Callahan's outburst at Will Levis based on the bowling ball he threw to Tajay Spears on Sunday?
A little bit here and there.
So I saw on Twitter that Ryan Fitzpatrick came out and complained like a crybaby about it, and I was like, whatever. I mean, again, I'm not going to be one of these guys that's like, well, he wasn't any good, so who cares what he thinks? Because he's a lot better than I was. But I do not stay awake at night thinking, what does Ryan Fitzpatrick think? Just like I don't care that Dwight Freeney said that Will Levis sucks. Like, I don't care. But then, yesterday, I was brushing my teeth. And I was watching YouTube, multitasking. And on YouTube, they had a 7-minute discussion on NFL Network that ended up being like a panel roundtable about how Brian Callahan has learned to keep his emotions in check and how he needs to, you know, coach Will Levis with love and grace and kindness. And have we really sunken that low as a society that people are upset with how Brian Callahan reacted to what Will Levis did on Sunday? Like, have we really fallen? Like, have we fallen this far that it's we're sitting here as a society and we see one guy mouth the F word one time and it's like, oh, how dare he show Will Levis up? First of all, I mean, what was he supposed to do? Was he supposed to say, you'll get him next time, Willie? Serious question. What was he supposed to do? Was he supposed to not put his arms out and say exactly verbatim what he said? Because I was sitting about 200 feet above him, and I had the exact same reaction. What's Brian Callahan supposed to do? I mean, if Brian Callahan had the exact same reaction I had, which was basically, you know, that, and throw your hands, just, oh, whatever, screw you, then we'd have a problem. Instead, Brian Callahan's looking at the scoreboard like everybody else, saying, well, what are you doing? Like, to me, showing up Will Levis would have been Brian Callahan going to the podium after the game was over and getting in front of the media and saying, yeah, not my fault we lost today. It's Will Levis's fault for rolling the ball on the ground like a moron. You know, that would be over the line. But he didn't say that. He said it was dumb. It was dumb. He said in the moment he was upset because they had the same conversations last week about the exact same thing. And yet, it's one thing if it's one weenie that gets all upset. That, you know, oh, that was Brad Callahan's sideline, use F word. That's one thing. But it's another thing when it's an entire panel discussion that involves former NFL players. Like, if you've ever been to practice and you can hear the coaches talking to the players, you've heard things a million times worse. I worked in women's college basketball and have heard things a trillion times worse than Brian Callahan's justified anger at the dumbest thing he had seen that week that is only eclipsed by the stupidity that he saw last week. And yet they really had an 8-minute discussion on NFL Network about whether or not Brian Callahan was in line for his comments regarding Will Levis. 8 minutes. I don't even know, and I can talk about anything for a long time, and you guys know that. I don't even know if I can talk about this for 8 minutes because I saw the reaction, and I'm like, I was on Twitter during the game at the stadium, and you know how I am. Twitter for me is like the Jared Stillman 24-hour sports network where I just fire off the takes just like we do here on the air. But so I'm at the game, and I'm on Twitter, and I start to see the videos from the TV broadcast of Brian Callahan losing his mind. And I was like, I mean, hey, I get it. I feel it. Good. Fine. Whatever. And then it didn't hit me until John Glennon asked Brian Callahan on Monday about being more aware of the cameras now that he's the head coach. And I'm like, more aware of the cameras? I mean, first of all, he does need to be more aware of the cameras. When you're the head coach, things are different than when you're an assistant coach, period. But Brian Callahan's smart enough to know that. But being weary of the cameras, are we mad that what happened happened? And then Kaharski followed up, and Callahan was like, well, you know, I love Will so much, and, you know, I coach him hard, but I love him hard, and I don't want anybody to think that I don't love Will. And I'm like, Brian, you don't have to apologize, baby. It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. But then, again, it was like it didn't stop there. Had Fitzpatrick crying about it. Again, one guy cries about it. I'm not upset about that. There's always going to be one Nana out there that's like, oh, how dare you? How dare you eat crunchy peanut butter instead of creamy peanut butter? There's always going to be one a-hole out there that's like that. But again, for the league-owned network to be sitting around the table saying, you know, this is a serious issue that we need to discuss. How sad is that for America? How sad is that for the state of where things are? That, I mean, he used a word that, again, if you want to talk about potty mouths and things like that, and I think it's probably obvious, Ian, that I don't have the cleanest mouth in the world.
I mean, you do an okay job on the radio, but, you know. Sure, I would imagine that's fair
like,
to say.
But, like, you can tell, like, who, like, you can tell that, like, for instance, Paul Kaharski curses more than Robbie Stanley. Even though Paul Kaharski doesn't curse on the radio, in real life, I think we can all agree, Paul has much more of a potty mouth than Robbie Stanley or Willie Donick, right?
Okay, sure. Although, I'll buy that.
I'll tell you something, you get Willie all riled up sometimes. But, again, I don't have the cleanest mouth in the world. I feel like we're trending more as a society in the direction where those words are kind of becoming more accepted, which may not be a good thing. I don't know. That's for somebody who cares about things more important than I do to get into. But it's okay. He mouthed it. If you know it, you know why he said it. You know what he meant. You know what it. And if you don't know that word because you're 4 years old, don't learn it. And you won't even know what you're looking at. He put his arms in the air like, what were you doing? Because everybody and their grandma wants to know, what were you doing? And the fact that people are so upset about it. I mean, what happened to the old days of Nick Saban grabbing a face mask and shaking somebody by the... You guys remember when Saban would shake him by the face? What happened? What happened to those days? Our society is so freaking soft. Everybody is a crybaby now. It is so depressing that everybody has to complain about everything all the time. It's like, I'm sitting there at the game. I felt the exact same way the coach did. And I saw the coach's reaction. And I would say my anger towards the coach was not this sense of, hey, coach, you need to set the example for the players. And you need to, my anger towards the coach was, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? That's how I felt about it. What a soft society we live in. Unbelievable. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I think I said this years ago. I actually think I said this earlier this week, Ian. The story about Floyd and Matthew Fisher Davis.
Yeah,
did I tell that this week?
No, it wasn't this week. It's probably last week or the week before.
Probably when Levis did that stupid thing last week in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So years ago, Vanderbilt lost an NCAA tournament game because Matthew Fisher Davis fouled the guy from Northwestern, thinking that they were down one instead of up one. Cost him the game. And I put on the grid for the next day, what would Floyd say if he were coaching Matthew Fisher Davis? And Floyd looks at me and goes, what do you mean? What would Floyd say? I was like, well, if you were the coach, you know, what would you put your arm around him and say, hey, it's okay? You know, he's like, I'd look at him and I'd say, you cost us the word Brian Callahan used. You cost us the game. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I'm going to spend all this time working, coaching, getting ready for a big basketball game, and then you go out there and lose it for everybody else. So, like, I mean, the fact that we're even talking about, do you need to be more aware of the cameras? Yeah, I need to be more aware of the cameras. No, you don't, coach. You coach them. Please. I mean, the lollipopper one time uses one potty word, and it's like, oh, God, NFL Network has to launch an investigation. It's unbelievable. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company. A lot of people do want to weigh in on this. We'll continue on 1025-1063 The Game.
Why do you need to be different there? What's wrong with that? You're being human in the moment. Everyone's thinking that.
Sure.
What's wrong with it?
I don't think anything's wrong with it. I don't want to get to points where like I stand up a player on television and I make it about them and not about us. And I think those things, I could do a better job with that. I'm not going to promise you that I'm going to be able to every time. I am emotional enough at times, especially on game day where, you know, when things go wrong, you get either excited or you get angry and that's how it happens. But, you know, I don't want to do that to Will. That's not fair to Will in that particular case. So yeah, it's not how I want to be perceived and considered. I think outside of this, you know, I think people that don't know me and that's the only thing they see is that. So yeah, that's probably the best way to put it. I don't regret my feelings about it. And how I felt in the moment. I just think I can do a better job. Just like I ask our players to control their emotions, I probably should control mine a little bit.
Don't apologize. No need to apologize, Brian Callahan. By the way, I can't remember the last time that the text line was universally in agreement on something until now. This is, I think, the first 100% to zero reaction I've ever seen. And that includes the Caleb Williams purse thing. When I went off about how Caleb Williams has a purse, and I'm like, I just can't take you seriously. If you play quarterback in the NFL and you have a purse, I can't take you seriously. And people in the text line, like a couple got mad about that. You know, oh, Jared, you're just being judgmental. Yeah, it's misogynistic. That's homophobic. I'm like, no, it's persophobic is what it is in football. But more importantly, this is the first time I've ever seen 100%. I have not seen one person that's like, No, Brian Callahan was out of line. In fact, that cut that we just played right there was the closest we've had to anybody saying that it was inappropriate and it came from Brian Callahan. Who did it? But NFL Network has to have an 8-minute discussion about it. Oh, my God. Let's go to Alonzo. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What's up, Alonzo?
Hey, what's up? I was just saying, I'm visiting. I'm from North Carolina. I'm visiting my future in-laws, and I watched the game, and I know being a Carolina fan is horrible, but yeah, being hard on Will Levis, I agree. I mean, we were way too lenient on Bryce Young, given we don't have a lot of help around him. But it was week after week, you know, it was, oh, he's going to learn. It's going to come to it. You know, our coaches, I love Coach Canales now, but we're too positive. I'm glad we finally benched him because it felt like we weren't going to bench him.
Alonzo, I'm going to tell you right now, nobody here cares about the Carolina Panthers. And I'm going to tell you on top of that, the problem with Carolina is the owner, and anything else other than that doesn't matter. Until you get another owner, you ain't going to win anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Bojangles, but a Bojangles box is worth more than a Carolina Panthers ticket right now. So I agree.
Period. Thank you, Alonzo. Again, I just sometimes it ain't that hard for the doctor to diagnose the problem. And so, I love the fact that, you know, congratulations, you got future in-laws and you're visiting them, and I'm happy for you and great. But, I mean, if you want to come on here and talk about Carolina Panther football, we do not have time for that.
Well, he was just trying to say that they should have been more harsh on Bryce Young.
I haven't watched Bryce Young play, so I can't tell you. But I was thinking about this.
Tough love.
I was thinking about this morning, about whether or not this should have been a topic. And I ultimately decided no, because I don't think I would do this. Or I think it's too far-fetched at this point. But let's go back to the 2023 draft, you know, where you took a guard with the 11th overall pick. Let's say Bryce Young was available in 2023 with the 11th overall pick. You know, remember when the Laramie Tunsil bong gas mask picture came out and he slid all the way down to the teens when a lot of people thought Laramie Tunsil could be the number one pick in a draft? Let's say Bryce Young slipped, kind of the way Levis slipped. Put yourself back in that moment. Would you have been yelling and screaming for the Titans to draft Bryce Young at 11. Now, I know Joe Rexroad would have been, since Joe Rexroad said, mortgage the farm to go get Bryce Young. He would have done what Tepper did. And yes, the stock is down, there's no doubt. But just take yourself back to that, the evaluation of Bryce Young. Ian, would you have taken Bryce Young if he was there with the 11th pick in the draft last year?
Instead of Skoronski?
Yes.
Probably.
So even though Carolina has come out and they have said that they are not going to trade Bryce Young, everybody always says they're not going to trade somebody before they trade him. The only time that they trade somebody, Barry Trotz said he wasn't going to trade Askarov, and then he traded him. The only time they say it is when they really, they'll give it away for a bag of footballs. You know, oh yeah, call us, please. That's when they'll do it. So they've said they're not going to trade Bryce Young, but I don't know. If this were the offseason, and so you could trade Levis for Bryce Young straight up, and Bryce Young could get a whole offseason of Brian Callahan's coaching and time with your receivers and everything else, would you pull the trigger on that?
I'd consider it, yeah.
The problem is that I say, you know, if this were the offseason, and if, and it's not. You know, we're in the middle of the season. And so in the middle of the season, you know, if you were to bring in Bryce Young to play quarterback, like, he'd have to learn your system and learn your receivers. And but I wouldn't rule out, like, if Levis continues to suck, I wouldn't rule out picking up that phone. I wouldn't rule it out. And here's why Carolina would, and it would be a one-for-one swap, Levis for Young. And here's why I think Carolina might have interest in doing it. They get the contract off their hands. And they get a young quarterback in return. Because if you make that trade, what you would be doing by making that trade is you would be taking the Bryce Young problem off of Carolina's hands and the contract, which is fully guaranteed being a top pick, and it's still a lot of money, even on a rookie deal. It's not as much because the signing bonus is massive, and so he's already gotten that. But what you would be doing for Carolina, you know, what, it's kind of like when the 49ers knew that they weren't going anywhere in the middle of the 2017 season, and they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo, and it was like, all right, Let's see if he's our guy. Let's see. So it was something I was thinking might be a topic, and then I, you know, was like, it's too far-fetched. I'm not sure it's a topic. But if Levis continues to stink, that's a question I'll ask. Fitz is going to join us next. That is going to be the first question I ask Fitz. If the Titans continue to stink, would you call Carolina on a one-for-one swap before the trade deadline? One texter says, you are higher than the highest cloud in the sky to trade Levis for Bryce Young. Higher as in they would never do it? Or higher as in that would be so stupid to trade Levis for Bryce Young? We'll ask Fitz next. 615-737-1025. Let's talk Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love my guys at Hiller. They were here this week. They took great care of my home. And I promise you, they can do the exact same for you. You've heard me talk for years about how Hiller's a family, and it is. And this month, Hiller is treating you like family with their Friends and Family Savings event. Happy Hiller Club members can save up to 25% off your first HVAC, plumbing, and electrical repair. And everyone else can get a 10% discount. Present your coupon and save today. Visit happyhiller.com to download a coupon today. And if you're going to book some work, book it at happyhiller.com just like I do. And again, I had Hiller out there. I booked it on Monday. They were out here Wednesday morning, and it was done by 9 a.m. That's how much I love Hiller. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. Tune in to 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville Saturday for MTSU football. Blue Raiders on the road, or excuse me, at home. I keep doing this. We'll take on Duke at Floyd Stadium. Pregame at 1:30. Kickoff is at 3. MTSU football on 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville is presented by Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. So, again, I was just throwing this out there. If Carolina, and I need to, when is the trade deadline, Ian? I need to figure out when that is.
I'll look it up.
But I was just thinking this morning when Carolina said, we're not trading Bryce Young. He's still our guy. Okay. Everybody always says that. If this were the offseason.
The Tuesday after week 8.
That's pretty late. So knowing what we know now, if what we know about Levis, if they had an offseason to coach up Bryce Young and Carolina would take him one for one, would you do it? I would. And I go back to the draft. I think Carolina has screwed him up more than he's too small and sucks. But again, I'm just saying, like, hey, we know Levis ain't the guy. At least I know that. You may want to keep waiting and waiting and waiting. I don't need to. But again, my point was, you know, would you think midway through the year if things aren't going well, do you pull the Jimmy
Actually, G? Actually, after this season is the first season, it's the Tuesday after week 9. They moved it back a week.
Okay. Jason Fitz joins us now on the program, Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio. Fitzy, let's start with that. I wasn't expecting that to be what we'd start on, but, you know, it just kind of came up. So if Bryce Young, and I know they're saying Bryce Young is not available, but if Bryce Young is available, which I think he probably is, would it be crazy to pick up the phone and offer Levis for him straight up, maybe in a couple of weeks?
Crazy? No. Likely? No. It feels like that's just a tough. We don't see that very often. Is it crazy? No. Look, Bryce Young coming out was a better prospect than Will Levis, and the Panthers have failed him. And it's just look. Bryce owns part of that, but I think we can be honest here that when you've got a young quarterback and you put how many offensive minds in his ear over the course of one season, I think it's an abject disaster. Also, look at what we've seen right now from Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, both of who were Carolina Panthers quarterbacks recently, right? So we've seen that quarterbacks can get away from Carolina and still play. I think there are concerns about his size, but there's bigger concerns about some of his pre-snap stuff that, you know, we heard coming out of college that he wasn't the best with blitz recognition, with offensive line communication. That's been an issue in the pros. So, you know, how do you fix that? But at the same time, I'm not so married to Will Levis that there aren't many people that I wouldn't take a one-for-one trade on. So why not? You know, I'm with you, by the way. Like, I don't mean to be harsh here, but my mom used to always say to me, you can't pick stupid. And you've had 2 straight weeks of a stupid play costing the Titans an opportunity to win a football game. Like, they should have beat the Jets. They had so many chances to beat the Jets and didn't get it done. If I'm in that organization and somebody offers me something for Will Levis, yes. The answer is probably yes, whatever it is. It could be a pack of lime Skittles. And I'd be like, yep, I'm in. Let's go.
How much of Bryce Young's problems in Carolina are them screwing him up?
Probably 70-75%. Like, look, I know the size is still an issue, and we always want to talk about that. And frankly, he tries to save himself by running backwards, which doesn't help him. He's got to process some things faster. But, man, you just can't put a quarterback coach and an offensive coordinator and a head coach that are on totally different pages in his ear at once, all telling him the different things, which is multiple people have told us that that's what happened around there with the Frank Reich world. And then you make a coaching change, and then you make another coaching change. And if you're Canales, you got to look around at some point. You're, man, this guy's so messed up. I don't even think we can fix him while he's playing. Think about how messed up Baker Mayfield was when he got to Canales, and all of a sudden he got fixed like that. Like, the fact that that hasn't happened with Bryce just shows you how bad it is. And I feel bad for the kid. Like, I think when you are a top draft pick and you fail, the organization has to look in the mirror hardcore, and that's what Carolina has to do.
So I don't think they're going to do that. I think the problem in Carolina is the owner. The problem here, I also think, might ultimately end up being the owner, given the musical chairs and decisions that they've made over the last couple of years. Is it as simple as, hey, Levis cuts out the dumb stuff and they don't get any more punts blocked and the Titans are a solid team? Or is it eye-opening just how disastrous the two losses have been?
I think it's eye-opening because, like, the simplicity of just cut out the dumb stuff. What if the dumb stuff is just wired in your DNA? Right, like, this is an old school reference for, you know, fans that are my age, but do we all remember Jeff George? Like, Jeff George was that guy that could throw the ball anywhere on the field. It's just, the problem was, a bunch of the time he threw it to the wrong team. Jameis Winston, a good example of pick after pick after pick and touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, right? Like, you take the good, you take the bad, but it's part of how you're wired. So some quarterbacks, like, the concept of, I'm just going to coach out the dumb stuff. Well, what if the dumb stuff is actually a part of who you are as a quarterback? And this is the hill I've done repeatedly with Will Levis, is that he did the dumb stuff in college too. So, like, this isn't a Titans problem. This is a Will Levis problem. I understand if you could get rid of that, that maybe you have an okay quarterback. Maybe you have a pretty good quarterback even. But I challenge that there's been any proof of concept that you can get rid of that with Will Levis, because it's part of who he is. It's part of who Zach Wilson was. It's part of, like, the concept was the same with Zach Wilson. The concept was the same with Sam Darnold at one point. Like, the number of times we've looked at different guys and said, like, oh, if you could just cut out the dumb mistakes, okay. If it was that simple, then every quarterback would do it.
Yeah, but you brought up Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold with smart coaching, Kyle Shanahan last year and now Kevin O'Connell this year, looks like a changed man.
Yeah, I think that just took a long time. Like, there's change coaching and also years of patience. Like, do we want to wait 6 years for Will Levis to figure out that he can't do that stuff? Like, Sam Darnold finally got it, but it took a long time. And the dumb interceptions were part of who he was in college too. Like, so I just think that when you have a body of work in college that's being supported by the body of work of pros, now it's not just a conversation of can you coach it out. It's like, can you fix the wiring of a player? Like, there's going to be a real conversation about Caleb Williams. We're only two weeks in. I think Caleb's going to be great. But there were plenty of people that said, hey, you can't rely on making plays off schedule. Sometimes you got to take what the defense gives you. What has he done in a couple of weeks? He's relied on trying to go off schedule and not taking what the defense gives him. So, like, I do think that you stack it on top of the college game, and it's not either or, it's both, that really become part of the identity of a player.
Do you think, Jason Fitz is with us on the program, do you think we're going to start seeing teams sit quarterbacks more? You know, these young quarterbacks have struggled so far this year, whether it's Caleb or Jaden Daniels a little bit. They haven't thrown touchdown passes. Bo Nix hadn't been very good. Now, Bo Nix is like 30 years old. But again, they're struggling. Bryce struggled. Yes, C.J. Stroud was good. But New England has said, no, we're sitting Drake May. And I think they'll be happy with that decision. Do you think we're going to start seeing teams say, you know what, let's let the young guy learn?
Yeah, I think they should. Like, I keep going back to the interviews that Patrick Mahomes did after his rookie year when he came out in his second year and started to play so well. And he, over and over and over again, he credited Alex Smith for teaching him, you know, how to take care of his body, how to break down the film the right way, how to schedule his life as a pro. Like, he had somebody that really taught him so much of what it takes to be a professional. I just think having a tutor do that for you, that's also taking some of that pressure off you while you're a team that stinks, is I think New England is handling Drake May perfectly. Chef's kiss to how that's going down. And I know everybody wants to see the young kid play, but, man, I look at Anthony Richardson. Like,
you just, at some point, there's a fine line. You got to get reps. You got to get out there. You got to play. But man, you've got to find a way to mitigate some of these mistakes and teach along the way. So I don't think there's one true hard rule on all of it, but I do think the longer a quarterback can sit and learn, the better. Like, I don't think it's an accident that Jordan Love looked so good when he finally got on the field and knocked the rust off, because man, he had a long time to figure out how to be a starting quarterback.
Speaking of Jordan Love, do you expect Jordan Love to play on Sunday against the Titans?
No, everybody I've talked to that has any sort of ear on the ground in the organization does not expect him to play. I don't expect him to play. I think this is the Malik Willis revenge game.
Okay. With that being said, then, if Malik beats the Titans on Sunday, is Amy going to fly off the handle?
She should. I mean, like, look, I even said it when Malik got in the game, was coming in last week, and everybody said, I don't know what to expect from Malik Willis. I said, I do. Like, the Titans looked at Will Levis and said, nah, we're comfortable letting this guy out of the building completely. Like, not even having a competition. But like, we are comfortable giving Will Levis the reins. Like, that tells you how little they thought of Malik Willis. So, yeah, I, if he comes in and beats the Titans, then, you know, frankly, the Packers ran the ball beautifully last week with the running backs and with Malik Willis. If they come in and beat the Titans, if I was the owner of that team, I would lose my mind. Like, that would be absolute. I'd be walking up and down the halls. I'd be going full apoplectic. Like, it would be what you think happens in a movie every single day. I'd be chewing out every butt I could possibly get my teeth into.
By the way, I don't know if you watched the Packers game last week against the Colts. I thought that the game plan on both sides of the ball was completely inexcusable by Indianapolis. I mean, I really thought Gus Bradley should have been fired. I mean, did they not know that Green Bay was going to run the ball with Josh Jacobs 30 times, which is exactly what they did? I mean, just maybe bring an extra guy up in the box. I know the two high safeties, it's the new trend in the NFL, but good God. And then on the other side of the ball, Steichen. Everybody tells me Steichen's a genius, and I get it. Jalen Hurts looked pretty good with him as the coordinator. But at the same time, like, Anthony Richardson does not need to be throwing the ball 35 times in a game, and Jonathan Taylor does not need to be on the bench in the fourth quarter. Taylor was 103 on 12 carries. I just thought that game plan from Indianapolis, Fitz, was completely inexcusable, and I don't hear anybody talking about that.
Yeah, I think what you have were two stubborn coaches. And, you know, I'll always go back to what former players used to always yell at me at ESPN, that we talk about player ego, but we forget about coaching egos. Man, it just felt like, to your point, Gus Bradley is one of the most stubborn coordinators in the NFL. I believe he looks at his system and says, my system is from the gods, can do whatever I want. Steichen, you're right. I think it was the absolute wrong game plan for the Colts. Like, 100%. Like, this was a simple game to win. Stop the run and run the football. And Indianapolis seemed unwilling to do either.
Jason Fitz, last one for you. Do you think the Titans will win on Sunday, regardless of who plays quarterback for Green Bay? Or does the quarterback matter as far as whether or not the Titans are going to win?
No, I think the Titans are going to win this game. And maybe it's because I think their backs are against the wall and they should win this game. I'll admit that. Like, Green Bay came in and just said, hey, we're going to win despite Malik Willis. And to their credit, they did. But, man, I don't think you can't fish very long in the waters of the NFL with the quarterback the way that Malik Willis can play that position. I don't think that's a winning formula. So I think the Titans' defense is getting a little slept on. They're going to have a big dominant performance. I think the Titans win this game. Feels like an ugly game, like 21-10. It feels like that sort of game. But I think the Titans win. And if the Titans don't win, then, you know, I've always been one that sits back and says, hey, I don't love hot takes. I don't love yelling. Like, that's just not who I am. If the Titans don't win, everybody should lose their damn minds. Because, like, if you can't win this game, then you are now officially trying to get the first overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, it's a rock bottom kind of game. Jason Fitz, as always, joining us on the program from Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio. As always, Fitz, great stuff. We'll talk next week.
Appreciate you, brother. Have a great week.
Yep. So I was not surprised at all by the 100% of you that said, yeah, this idea that Brian Callahan was out of line for yelling at Will Levis, I was not surprised by that. I am surprised by you at the reaction that I'm getting as far as this Bryce Young. This is just a hypothetical, throw it out there, Bryce Young. You know, Will Levis, if he continues to stink, do you make a trade for Bryce Young, who, again, I mean, a lot of people thought was pretty good, even though he was always short coming out of college. And I'm a little surprised by the reaction to that. 615-737-1025, plus Fitz does say he thinks Jordan Love's out, which, God, I'd love that. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, the game. And tune in this Saturday for our college football game of the week, 7 o'clock, right here on 102.5, 106 for the game, as it's Baylor in Colorado, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts at wall-to-wall sports.
The absolute bleep show in Carolina, Charles. First of all, it's just amazing to me. I understand how bad the kid's been. I think they've also destroyed him. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Or at least they've made it really tough on him. First of all, do you believe that they are going to shop him? And second of all, I mean, where's David Tepper rank? I mean, I have to look at Canales' answer the other day as some tacit acknowledgement that Tepper is driving another bad decision in that franchise.
So here's the problem, and it could be a lie. I mean, I spoke to someone there, and I was told, no, they're not. And it was after Adam Schefter had brought up on his podcast, hey, maybe, you know, Miami, a potential trade to Miami or whatever, and which seemed really speculative. And I was told by someone there, that's not the plan. Like, this is not a, he's done, we're going to trade him kind of a situation. I don't know if that's true or not. And the problem is, the reason why I don't know it's true or not, it did not come from David Tepper. And that's the, no matter what you're told by Dave Canales or Dan Morgan or anyone else in that organization, you always know, and it's come from every person who has departed that organization, at the end of the day, any decision can be turned around on a dime by David Tepper. He can change his mind, and he has no qualms, or at least in the past, has had no qualms about stepping in and saying, nope, this is what we need to do. Like, you're doing this wrong, or I disagree with this. This is how this is going to change.
Okay, that was Charles Robinson today on the whole Bryce Young thing. And again, remember, what happened was they benched him. They said, no, 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 we're not trading him. He's our guy. But everybody always says that. Barry Trotz said they weren't trading Yaroslav Askarov, and guess what? They traded Yaroslav Askarov. So a caller called in who was a Carolina Panther fan and was talking about, you know, I'm glad that Brian Callahan was hard on Will Levis and, you know, we needed that in Bryce Young, and then wanted to talk Carolina Panthers. And I was like, I'm not interested in talking Carolina Panthers. But I did bring up the idea of, you know, hey, earlier this morning I thought about it and I was like, if this were the offseason and they offered you Bryce Young for Will Levis straight up, I think I'd make the trade. And I'd make it because I did like Bryce Young coming out. I didn't love him. Like, again, I loved Anthony Richardson. And I still love Anthony Richardson. If the Colts want to poo-poo Anthony Richardson like a lot of you do out there, then I'll take him. I'd take him in a heartbeat. I'd drive Will Levis to Indianapolis. I'd go get the nicest car I can find, and I'd just get Will Levis in the back and drive him right up there. But they haven't benched him. They have benched Bryce Young in Carolina. I mean, I'd do it. I'd do it because I just don't think there's anything you have to lose by doing that. And yet, the amount of you on the text line, they're like, no, 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 no on Bryce Young, I'm actually pretty surprised by. Like right now, if you picked up the phone and called Carolina and said, and I don't buy that Carolina won't trade Bryce Young. I just don't think they'll trade him for Will Levis. But if you picked up the phone and you said Levis for Young straight up, and they said, sold. You guys wouldn't do that? I'd do it. Again, I mean, I liked Bryce Young coming out. And look at what Baker's done and look at what Sam Darnold has done since they've left Tepper. In fact, in the middle of the 22 season, Tepper fired Matt Rhule and demanded Baker be cut. And then he kind of stayed out of it because he had given up on the year. And Steve Wilks and Sam Darnold and DJ Moore put that team back in the playoff hunt. And you guys wouldn't do that for a guy who rolls the ball on the ground? Gerald is up next here on our program. Gerald, thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead.
I'm a big fan, man. Again, great work. I will say I did watch the Tennessee and Jets game. The first drive I seen was him playing bowling, and I turned it off right then and there. I'm not a fan of him. I liked him in college, and I really wanted him to be good, but from what I've seen, he's not good. But with Bryce Young coming over, I would love to see Bryce Young come over. I really do. I hate that he's in Carolina just because Carolina has really messed him up, I feel like. And I think he should have another shot at with a better team. But for him coming over, I really – because he'd probably end up starting unless they put in Mason Rudolph, but he really doesn't have no one to learn from.
Well, okay, so here's what you'd have to do. Gerald, thank you for your call. Here's what you'd have to do. If you did this, you'd have to start Mason Rudolph for a month. Again, this is a totally hypothetical, we're just all friends sitting around having a conversation talk, right? This isn't serious, Ian. Just, I want everybody to know that. But we can have these kind of conversations, right?
What, this Bryce Young hypothetical trade
it's
stuff?
It's not serious. I mean, we're just talking.
Okay, sure.
So we're just talking. If they were to say, hey, we'd do it for Levis, which, again, I'd do in a heartbeat. Let's say that were to have, you'd probably have to play Mason Rudolph for a month. And you would, as soon as you make the trade, go down to the podium and say, Mason Rudolph's going to be our starting quarterback. We're signing Johnny Joe to come in here, and he's going to back Mason up this week. You know, probably Logan Woodside, because he knows the Cincinnati Callahan stuff. And we're going to let Bryce learn the system before we put Bryce out there. And then in a month, you put Bryce out there, and he's the quarterback for 6 or 7 games, and you decide if you want to move forward with Bryce or not. Again, I really liked Bryce when he was coming out. I really liked Bryce. One texter says, he's too small. We don't need a Kyler Murray. I'm like, Kyler Murray, and I'm not a Kyler Murray fan. Kyler Murray's kicking some ass so far this year. Adam says, does the idea of Carolina getting out of the first round draft pick contract, which they would get in return for Levis on a second round contract, make any sense for Carolina to want to do? Yes, it does. It's not the end all be all, but yeah, it does. That it does. I'm not saying Carolina doesn't want to do it, but they probably wouldn't want to do it. You know, you never know until you ask. Jason Light, the general manager of the Buccaneers, they thought they were going to extend Jameis Winston. As much as we laugh and poo-poo Jameis Winston and all that kind of stuff, they thought they were going to re-sign Jameis Winston. And Jason Light called Don Yee, Tom Brady's agent, 2020 free agency, just checking in. And Don Yee said, it's a good thing you called, because they didn't have a ton of options for Brady, and they could sell him on Tampa. So you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. All right, TD is here next, 615-737-1025. By the way, I texted Joe, and I asked Joe if he would do it straight up, and he hasn't texted me back. But I did text Joe Rexroad and ask, would you trade Levis for Bryce Young straight up? TD will join us next. To Will Levis. What does TD make of it? We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.